everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Pulling on Heaven podcast with Pastor Prophet Gary Zamora. How are you?
I'm doing great. What a great introduction, I think. Nice. I think that was a little over the top. Or
you know, we got to keep it live. But you know, I've missed a couple sessions, so I haven't been here for a while. So I'm just excited to be back. Well, it's
I'm glad you're here. We've had some really great guests and none better than you. Okay.
Oh no, but, I've been excited. I was like, nobody wants to tune in to see me. They got to tune in to see you. So let's get some other people on here. Yeah, so I haven't gotten to see what they are yet. But I'm really excited. There's some great, wonderful
times. You know, everyone has a gift and a call, and everyone plugs in to the same port, but it comes out different, you know.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the weather, you know. It same season, maybe the month of March. We're in the month of March right now. It may be a different month when someone watches this, but different days produce different seasons. So that's what we had. It was, I think, insanely wonderful. It was for me, and I was ministered to even by questions. And it's just incredible what the body is like when we just surrender to what the body is, and that's Christ in us. And we had a great time, though, but we missed you, definitely missed you. And that's why you and I are actually going to do two like in 15 minutes.
Oh, right? Fantastic. We'll do speed round.
Just to make up for time.
Well, there's so many great people that God is keeps bringing into the church.
It really is.
And it's such an eclectic group too. I mean, I've joked, and I mean it in all sincerity, that it's kind of like we're all who come there. It's like we're the island of misfit toys.
I've said it must be me. I mean, I've got all these unusual friends.
Yeah, it's so
great.
It
must be me. Why do I attract? And then it's not me, it's Jesus.
And people from lots of different walks of life, lots of different communities, lots of different settings. And it's just a really eclectic
I don't think
group.
Anyone comes from the same place.
No.
I mean, they can live next door and they're in a totally different
world. And I think that's really what the kingdom of heaven's like, and that's what's so cool and refreshing. It's not like just this homogenized group where everyone is one culture, one race, one profession, one whatever it is. It's so cool.
It's a little bit of everyone believing in the same God and seeing how many facets in just a small eclectic group of God you can see. Yeah. And it just never ends. Everybody still stays just, you know, somewhere out in the far reaches of beyond the norm, whatever that is.
Yeah, that's right.
And then God brings us into the spirit of truth, and truth is our reality. So
and you know, for those who don't necessarily know where the church, where PFC is located, is a little bit out of the way from regular, you know, just kind of the heart of Los Angeles.
We had to hide ourselves.
Yeah,
so
it's not that far. But I love what last podcast. I love what Andrew said. What did he say? A church is alive is worth the drive.
Yeah.
That should almost be the PFC motto.
Right. That's true. Yeah, people drive from quite a ways.
Yeah, I drive from quite a ways. Yeah. I mean, not as far as Andrew does, but you know, it takes 45 minutes to an hour to get to church.
But you know, you drive there a lot more often, so.
Yeah, but it's absolutely worth it. Yeah. I love coming.
Thanks. I'm so thankful. You know, I always talking with you and then talking with other people, I do what I know God's anointed me to do. And sometimes you don't look back, you just keep doing. And I mean, it's always in everyone's head, I think, how effective am I? I hope, you know, but you got to just not, my own teaching from the Lord is just move forward. So when I get a chance to sit down and hear people talk about how it's impacted them, it's really,
that's cool.
I talk about a blessing. I mean, in the real, not just the font of it, but the reality of it just hits me big time. And it's just like, wow, praise God. Really? That came out of me and it touched you in that way. So that means a lot to me.
Yeah. Well, I could spend every podcast just talking about all the ways you've done that in my life, my family's life. And I've had the privilege, and we've talked about this before, but I've had the privilege of knowing you way longer than I look old enough to know you.
Oh yeah.
but so I've gotten just the amazing, the honor that God has used you to speak into my life for a long time. And so much both theologically, prophetically, and I know, and it was so great again about your last conversation with Andrew was that link up between the two, because it's all really the expression, the revelation of who he is, and that's really what prophecy is. And
well, in the same, I think the same thing. I think about you, whether it's podcasts or we're having dinner or we're at church or whatever it is. I don't think I would say the things I say. I don't think I would know the things I know. I don't think I would pull in the way that I pull if there wasn't a reason. Mm. And you are one of those reasons. So everything's just connected. It's God's no respecter of persons. What does that mean? Well, he doesn't like me more than them or them more than me. It's really deeper than that. It's God has respect to the body, and no one is any less connected than the other, any less significant, not just insignificant, but significant when you're talking in God, about God and in Christ. That's huge. But the connection, if we just actually, we step away from competitiveness and we look at the wholeness. And I've been talking a lot about that, the wholeness of who Christ in us is. I mean, you look and say, man, he's a thought of God. That changes your world. That helps you think about people, whether you like what they're doing, they believe, they don't believe. Because you think, how do we go there when there's people that do certain things? And, you know, someone you enjoy, like Jesus said, you know, those that basically do good to you and you do good to them, that's fine, but that's not hard.
Yeah.
He's not talking about hard, but he's talking about a depth that he's put on the inside that he wants us to know about. And that's the revelation of Jesus Christ or prophecy. But it really is true. It's really true. But what's so incredible is sometimes you may see something in me that I don't see.
Yeah.
And I may see something in you that you don't see because that connection is there. But when I look at an individual and I say, this is a thought of God. I'm looking at a thought of God. I mean, all things were created by him, through him, without him, not anything was made. So I'm looking at a thought of God. I mean, that changes the way that I interface with people, because I'm going, wow, this is, and that's.
Yeah, you can't discount somebody that so easily that way, can you?
No, and you know what, Steve, it's so simple. And I think in the last couple of podcasts, we talk about that. We try to make it so hard. I think trying to find the depth of God, we try to dig a hole somewhere that God never called us to dig, and trying to find God. It's kind of like the prophet Elijah going out and trying to find God, and you know, the wind and the rocks cracking open and the storm and all. He said God was in that still small voice. Just say, he's speaking right here. And it really helps us to come together as the body of Christ, and we can't do it without each other. That's why he said, loving your neighbor as yourself was likened unto the first commandment. We're just to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Second is likened unto. What does that mean? You're an idea of God. You're an idea of God. I'm talking to an idea of God.
Yeah.
We're having a relationship. We are friends. We're brothers in Christ. But we're seeing God in the whole picture.
Yeah.
Another form of the fullness and the wholeness of God. So, across the board, when you see Jesus saying, love your enemies and those that spitefully use you, you know, we tend to identify an individual based on something they did, and a lot of times on what we didn't like that they did.
Yeah.
And it's kind of an aggressive idea in the mind, in the brain of a man, to find something that elevates him just a little bit more.
Yeah.
See, I'm really way taller than you are. I just did learn to humble myself. But in that,
with this anointing and height, oh my gosh.
Right? But you know what? In that, when you put that aside and you honestly, you address someone, if you're having trouble, your difficulty forgiving someone, loving someone, having the respect or the heart after a person you know you should, regardless of where they're at, what they have, what their financial status is or isn't, where they're living, what they're doing, if you look at it and go, that's an idea of God. Listen, they may have deceived themselves into believing a lie.
Sure.
But nonetheless, that's an image of God. And what could I do if I really believed all things are created by him, for him, and through him? And when we don't, that's when we derail ourselves. And then other things that we want to believe become difficult because it's the small things that determine who you really are and how you think. And it's not a piece of my mind here and a piece of my mind there. Everything's connected. It's the whole. In short, if you admire God's creation, you love God's creation and realize that's an idea of God, loving, forgiving, and just enjoying a relationship coming together in the unity of the faith of the Son of God becomes a whole lot easier.
Man, yeah. If we as a church could take on that you know, that approach, the impact in the earth and to those who aren't saved would be radically transforming.
Yeah.
Because I feel like so much of the time we as the church, or historically at least, the church has been, okay, this person, let's say, okay, they did something that is against God's ways, you know? And so we want to look at them and communicate how wrong they are versus Jesus looked at them, loved them, and so came to show them his love to get them to change, not to express how bad. So we want to discount them. And he says, no, because they're this way, I'm coming.
So right on. And that's kind of the church, the face of some church sometime. Yeah. You know, we've probably all walked in those footsteps. But I said this the other day, we even as believers, we tend to say, I need to learn to be more forgiving. I need to learn to be more kind. I need to learn to love more. We're not being honest. We've already learned that.
Yeah.
We don't need another lesson. We understand love and forgive. What we're saying is we don't want to.
Yeah.
And again, if we look as God said, you know, how can you say you love God when you hate your brother who was created in the similitude and the image of God? So what's the answer? Well, look at him like, listen to what he just said. So look at that person as that image, not what they're doing, not what they're saying. Listen to God. You know, our battles are not because we're trying to do right and wrong is trying to stop us. Our battles is we know right, we've learned right, and we decide to do wrong. And, you know, we call that a sin and that a sin. What about if there's a sin, if there's a bad decision, looking at someone and saying, well, because they did this, this is who they are, and this is how I feel about them, instead of, yeah, they messed up just like I did.
Yeah.
I messed up too. I was a sinner. Christ didn't look at me and go, I don't like you. Boy, you're just a mess. And, you know, you don't look like me, even though I made you like me. He remembered, just like Caleb. He said, I remember the word of the Lord. And God gave him great advantage, great power. And there's authority in that. And not only that, but then we're able to draw out of each other that connection, that your gift, my gift.
Yeah.
Your gift helps me walk in my calling. And then my calling helps you walk, or my gift helps you walk in your calling.
Yeah.
Because we sometimes get diverted. We focus on I'm a singer, so I just got to get in this venue. I need a bigger crowd. I need more audience. I think anybody that's done anything has always thought that way at some point. But what you should ask yourself is, what is my anointing? What is my call? Yeah. You know, I can sing, but that's a gift, but that doesn't define my call. My call is to identify Christ in everything that I see, to see the fullness of Christ in all things. If I'm going to walk in the fullness, I have to believe in the fullness. And if I see the absence of Christ in everything, I'm not going to believe. It's like saying I need to learn to walk in love. No, you need to just do what you already learned.
Yeah.
You need to, you know that you're supposed to love. You don't need to learn that. You know, you're supposed to forgive, be kind. You're not supposed to admonish one more highly than yourself. And when you do that, something happens to ego. And when your ego goes, then you are, that's why the word says, if you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. Well, let's look at it like this. When the ego goes, you stop putting yourself down, having the need to put someone else down a little below you, because you don't feel that way about yourself. So to elevate someone, to encourage someone, to speak highly, to bless someone, makes you feel good because the competition isn't there, because you instead of elevating yourself, trying to meet this man, if I did that with you, I'd never get around you. You're over here and I'm down here. But you know, you look and you say, there's his gift is calling on my call, and my gift is calling on his call. And we're able to see each other through that power instead of my gift is who I am and what drives me. And
yeah.
nobody's acknowledging my gift. I'm a singer or I'm a musician or I'm a preacher. And, you know, not that many people listen to me. Not that I don't get that many likes. I don't get that many appreciation. Everybody didn't applaud when I sang, you know, and you lose, yeah. you lose continuity with the value of your call. I'm here to worship God if you're a singer.
Yeah.
And whoever joins in that, God be praised. But heaven is united with my faith in that I am worshiping God. That's my call, to see Christ in every place I am. I never say, Lord, come into this place. Lord, dwell with us today. I never ask God to do that because I know he's there before I ever arrived. He is there before I ever decided to show up. So I just thank him for his presence. Seeing Christ in all things, that is walking in our call. And then the gift comes in and that gift elevates.
Yeah.
And the power of your call is magnified through that gift. And then people are touched by it, transformed by it, healed by it, ministered to, encouraged. It's kind of a turning it around just a little bit and heading in the right direction, letting the tail
and
be the tail.
What's crazy is you had actually, you know, years ago, you had actually given me a word that talked about that. And you talked about that difference between your gift and your call, and that your gift isn't the same as your call, and not to allow your gift to kind of exceed your call. And I think about a lot of the dysfunctionality in the church and different time seasons in my own life that I was dysfunctional of pursuing things in certain ways and kind of allowing that to be the case. And it's funny working in the film industry and working both on kind of the secular side of things and on, let's say, the faith-based side of things, I've noticed that, you know, in a lot of ways, the secular world is way more willing to build each other up and work together with each other than they are than the faith-based world
sometimes,
is.
Sometimes, yeah.
Because it's like everyone we all have our gifts, and it's kind of like we pursue those gifts over our calls. And because it's like if I'm given this gift, then that means I need to be advanced in this area. And so if that person is, and I have this project's going to do this, and that person have this, well, we can't work together because we're going to be in company, or, right. or I'm afraid they're going to take the glory or the spotlight or this like that. Where a lot of times out in just the normal business world, it's everyone's creates these partnerships and business. Everyone's trying to, you know, benefit from helping and building up because we all win. And then a lot of times that's not the way we approach things in the church a lot of the time. Yeah,
because we all win. Because we all win. Esteem your brother more highly than yourself. Yeah. Pray for one another that you may be healed, which is always, again, it's taking the focus off of what you need, which number one, when you do that, you just feel better.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the best way to stop worrying is stop thinking about what you're worried about. That means forget what you need, what you want. And listen, I'm not talking about not doing diligence and what you need to do and counting the cost and being wise and all that, but there's something that supersedes our concern for ourselves and the necessity to somehow not meet, but measure above so we feel that sense of self-worth. You know, now I'm validated because I feel like, but you don't. And what that does is it brings a condemnation into your mind because that's where you're thinking from. It brings the sense of belittlement into your mind. So you'll constantly see yourself a little lower than you need to be in your mind because you're thinking about others having to be that way in order for you. And you're not even thinking I need them to be lower.
Sure.
But just I need to elevate here. I'm not like that. I'm not there. I want to go here, man. I want to, like Paul said, my bragging rights are in Christ. I just boast of Christ. Your anointing may take, your gift may take you someplace that my gift's not going to take me. So in your place, whatever it is that God has anointed you, whatever your call is going to be magnified there, and someone else's over here.
Yeah.
But they still are, now your gift will bring you before, it'll make room for you and bring you before great people, the word says. But when you get there, because your gift brought you there, now what are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to say? You know, what if you're a singer, you missed the note. You know, if you're a builder, you missed the mark. The point is where is your heart so you can continue to press forward? And in the body of Christ, it's to see Christ in all things. See the right measurement. Yeah. Hear the right sound. Hear the right voice. Have a heart of forgiveness, heart of kindness, a heart of compassion. I mean, we talk about that, and there are different organizations that promote love and compassion, but sometimes it still almost feels like a marketing project yeah, instead totally. Of a revelation as simple as I do because I worship God and you're a thought of God. You're an idea of God. I'm looking yeah. at an idea of God. How incredible is that, guys? Y'all, come look at an idea of God. It really makes what Jesus said more comprehensible in the sense that you look at that and go, I can do that because this is God. I can forgive because, yeah, they made a mistake, but they're in the image of God.
Yeah.
And that God views it in that way. And the thing that happens when you do that, your mind begins to elevate. It's called maturing in the spirit, maturing in the word. Every time you employ an article of the word, insight, a revelation of the word, it elevates your mind. It elevates your understanding. It brings you to a point where you see from a higher plateau. You're looking from a different perspective. Things turn around. Things change. It isn't what you really thought it was. It's different. And we get there by thinking elevate, not ourselves, someone else. Because if we're thinking elevate us, we're thinking we're not high enough. If we're thinking about elevating someone else, we're not thinking about that, but we're thinking elevate. And that's where your mind goes, in esteem, in courage. Look at everyone as that image that God has created. Now you're thinking the image of God. You're not doing idolatry, self-worship. It's a whole lot more than just, okay, you know, just be a good guy.
Right.
And if they smack you on one cheek, turn your other. It's not talking about using yourself as a...
Well, what comes to mind is Jesus interacting with people before they knew to even... ask for, let's say, forgiveness of sins or ask for salvation,
right.
whether it's the woman caught in adultery who he doesn't condemn and then says, go and sin no more. She never said, I'm sorry. She never asked. He helps her, then tells her to go to this. The guys who bring the paraplegic and he says, your sins are forgiven. They didn't come asking for their sins are forgiven. They just brought this guy that this guy yeah. can do miracles. And Jesus went to the core with his love and his understanding of who they were outside of what their performance was,
right.
other than their faith.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that they didn't have to reconcile their own sin before he demonstrated his care and his call to them.
Yeah. The reason was, is what were they doing? They were condemning her. So what happened when he called them? What they did condemned them.
Yep.
Every one of them had to leave. Why? Because they had a condemning mentality towards something and someone. And their condemnation condemned them. That's why the word says, do not judge and you will not be judged.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that you're going to be judged because it says of the same measure you meet, it'll be measured to you again. And people can think, well, yeah, it means if I judge them, God's going to judge me for their wrong. No, he's judging you for your wrong. You're judging yourself. God's telling you how to step away from condemnation, the judgment of your own mind. But when you're pointing a finger at someone and you're condemning them, you're thinking judgment, condemnation. That's you. That becomes your mind, your thought. You're condemned by your own condemnation, just like they were. Jesus said, okay, stoner, you're right. That is the law. And whoever is qualified, go ahead and stone. Whoever is without sin. There wasn't one man standing there or one woman, just Jesus. Because he's the only one that didn't condemn. And what did he say? Your sins are forgiven you. Go and sin no more. Your sins are forgiven. Be healed. And the people are there to judge. Who can forgive sin? But you know what? We can all forgive. We can't redeem anyone.
No.
But we all have the power.
Yeah.
We have the power to forgive. And that transforms your life in more ways than you can imagine. People think, yeah, that's forgiveness thing. Is just making me kind of a good, righteous person, you know, so I'm a good churchy guy or gal, you know, it's so much more than that. It is the transformation of your mind every time you act upon the word of God.
Yeah.
That's your call, to act upon the word of God. Your gift might get you in the door, but what are you going to do once you get in the door? You know, you might get thrown out. The word says they come to the table, they sit down, they got in the door, but now they're cast out because the heart wasn't after God. If you see God in all things, you'll see God in all things.
Yeah.
And well, that transforms.
That makes me, you know, that's what I think is so powerful about what you've been talking about recently about being an experience for God.
Mm.
Because in that same way, being a thought of God. So if I come to realize that I'm an experience for God, that means everybody he's created was created to be an experience with God, whether they're walking in that or not.
Exactly.
But so then how can I treat somebody that is meant to be an experience of God, regardless of what they're doing, you know, any less than what God's intentions for them are.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the fear is, well, what if they don't receive it? What if they don't accept it? Well, that'd be horrible if Jesus said, what if they reject me?
Yeah.
You know, what if they, God so loved, he gave. It wasn't about, let's see if you're going to, it was, this is my love and I pour it out.
Yeah.
You know, our witness is the power that exceeds our ability to communicate. It's so much more powerful than what we say because it's the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God is speaking through us that way, that's the most empowering. And I've learned this having God speak to me in certain ways. It's not what we say all the time with our mouth, unless we're speaking to our mind. Let your ear hear your mouth say, so you stop contradicting yourself. But it's really the Spirit that lives on the inside, so we express that love of God. And listen to God. When he made man, he acknowledged, that's my image.
Yeah.
He would deliver a people just by remembering what David did. And what did he remember about David? He walked in favor with me. That's my image. If God acknowledges that we are his image, I mean, that's our call to walk in relationship, to acknowledging God. God made this person. God is in it. God is in this day. In the storm, God's in this day. God, you're in it. I mean, I can't necessarily define your image. That's what the Word said, that when they saw God or heard him in the cloud, they couldn't define his image. So they went and made one of their own.
Yeah.
Just see your thought. I don't have to define your image. I know you're God. And the invisible sometimes is far more tangible, far more empowering than the visible. As soon as the visible shows up, we try to make something out of it. Try to put it in a box, categorize it, give it a name, address it, tell it when to go, when to stop, you know. But when it's God and it's beyond, that's where the beyond, exceeding abundant and beyond all we know to ask or think. Think that way. Think that way. God, you're so beyond it. I see you and everything. That person may not know you, but it's still the image of God. Makes it a lot easier to love and to forgive. And when you do, it changes you. And you know what? It changes people too.
Yeah.
It's a really empowering sense of awareness of who Christ in me is. And there is the hope of glory again.
Yeah. And it's the ultimate trust in him. It's the ultimate trust in God.
That's so good. Yeah.
Because again, it leaves it up to God being the transformer of people. Mm. I can't transform anybody.
Love that.
I can try to transform somebody. I can do it in a loving way. I could do it in an angry way and all that, but none of that's going to transform anybody. So I have to trust God. I have to trust that this person who I might think is the most wicked, vile sinner,
right?
Can God do something with them? Most of the time, my response based on how I may have responded in the past might be, no, I don't actually really believe God could do that. So therefore, I've got to make them walk in line. You know?
Right. Well, what if you're the only one that sees them in the image they're supposed to be? Wow. And they never hear that ever again? And you gave them a vision that is right from God that they can believe towards, even if they don't accept it at that point in time. Some point in time, they go down the road and they listen and they remember. And they say, you know what? I am the image of God. The Spirit of God touches them. God knows. God knows. But you know what? People know. Paul said, I'm not telling you the truth because you don't know it. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you because you do. People know. They know when wrong is wrong and right is right, but they lack sometimes the faith, or they think they lack the character or even the initiative, because they just don't feel there's any hope to be able to believe that way. And if someone else can say it to them, even if they're rejected, I think I remember someone doing that once. And didn't Jesus do that? He saw us for who we were. He called it out. And I mean, how long was it? How many people came to Christ after he was there and after they denied him, renounced him, didn't believe that he was who he said he was? But as the gospel was ministered, as God manifests himself through his people and they heard it, I mean, did anyone ever come back around and go, you know what? That is God. I mean, wasn't that Paul? He's walking in the law. He says, I know the law better than my elders. You know, I'm actually more educated in all this than those that are older than I am. And God showed him something one time. And he said, why are you kicking against me? Why are you rejecting me? And God had to tell him who he was. And he threw blindness. Sometimes you just can't see where you're going. That's right where God wants you. So you have to just say, okay, I see God, even though I can't see anything. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing with us. We just, you know, you can't constantly push someone into believing because they already know they've done wrong.
Yeah.
But what if you tell them, even if they reject at that moment, what if you just drop a seed of, you are the image of God. And so, you know what? I know that. You may not know that today, but I know you're in the likeness and the image of God. You're actually an idea or a thought of God, or you wouldn't be walking around here and we wouldn't be talking. And maybe you turn and walk away. Maybe they say, hey, I've never seen that. Maybe they say, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
But you sown a seed, and if there's any hope for a seed of God's likeness to grow, it's got to be because someone shared it and the Holy Spirit brought it to life. God gives the increase. One waters, one sows, but God gives the increase. And if we're faithful to sow that seed, God has something to bring out.
Yeah, man, I love that. Because otherwise, you know, if it could be done by rules and done by law, it would have been done.
There wouldn't be
But then also, how much of the times of Jesus coming and saying, you know, we're going to come to you and say, didn't we do this in your name and this in your name and this in your name? So it's not about the doing at all. Mm. And the church, both for us inside, both religion of how a lot of church operates within the walls of the church and to the outward face in the world, it's all about, let's just get everyone to follow these rules.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be great. But Jesus was like, no, it's not about following the rules. It's going to be written in your heart.
Yeah.
And that's when it's my life in you.
Yeah. Not just let's run them down to the altar like a cattle call and get them to say these words.
Yeah.
Let's understand what we're saying. Let's understand. You know, and I remember this as a kid. They'd come and you get introduced to Jesus, and then the next one they'd introduce you to was
the devil.
The devil. Now, when he comes, let's build your faith up in that he is coming, and you are going to have to face him. And instead of just saying, you know what, your life's been transformed. You're going to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and nothing else matters but Christ. And know that he's with you in all things. What a different world that would be. But it's again, my gift, I would, a lot of gifts, talents, sing, preach, prophesy, you know, the word says you can have all the gifts, but if you, that one essential quality, that virtue of God,
love.
He said, otherwise all your gifts are just a bunch of noise and it just doesn't matter. And love is seen as God did. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What did he see? He saw sons and daughters because of his love. So, you're the image of God. Walk in your call and let your gift follow. And
that's really crystallizing, because really then it's really the ultimate call for all of us is love. Love is healer. Love him, love neighbors yourself. That's the call. And the gifts only function, only have relevance, only have any meaning within that. Otherwise, like you said, we're like a clanging cymbal or a gong.
What does it matter? Because you don't mean it anyway. You know, it's an ideology. It's something you learned. It's a pattern. You know, it's mechanical. It's not eagerly lived on the inside of you, because it's who you are. And that's the whole point of Christ. Christ in you now is who you are.
Yeah.
Not who you're getting to be. Well, I didn't do well. You know, I'm only human. We all get, we're human, but we're not only, you know, the Spirit of Christ. And that's where Paul was saying, don't be double-minded. Don't be conformed into an image, idolatry, an idea, a theme. Don't buy into it. Don't be conformed to the world and what it thinks. Anything that rejects the knowledge of the fullness of Christ, don't be conformed to that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What? You can prove the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. That's a call. That's how Paul talked, because that's how Christ wanted him to think.
Yeah.
And that's Christ in us. That's the fullness. And that just changes your world. It makes it a lot better place. And you see God doing something in everything. Discouragement level goes way, way down. Encouragement level goes way, way up. Your faith just, you know, encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in your faith. How do you do it? By what we're talking about. I see the image of God. Just, you know, that person said so many horrible things about me. And I temptation isn't powerful. It's optional. Okay. And the temptation, meaning I'm not going to, it doesn't have power. No temptation has power. It's an option we decide. And if we decide to yield to a temptation of that guy cursed me or that person cursed me, so I'm going to curse them, then there's no power making you do that.
No.
And that's not external. You're not feeling like you want to curse them because they cursed you. That's internal. That temptation isn't an external thing, or we wouldn't be responsible. We wouldn't have to repent. We blame it on the external. It's internal. How do you overcome that? Made in the image of God. I know what they said about me, but you know what? The truth, only thing that matters, and what Christ said about me is true. You know, I'm made in his image, he loves me, and I walk in his righteousness. Changes the world and makes what seems so hard, so easy.
Yeah.
Greatest season of your life.
Yeah. 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 Man, I know we got to wrap this up, but just in closing, you brought up again the idea of I'm only human that we say, and for the first, and I've heard you talked about that, and we've talked about it, and you talked about it in church, and for the first time, the thought struck me in a way that we say that as if it's a flaw, when actually, when you look at the angels, look at us, to say I'm only human is actually the greatest gift.
It really is.
Because that same, the same power then that we want to say I'm only human, therefore I'm going to commit this thing, is the same empowerment that I'm only human, therefore I have the power to make the choice not to go this way.
Yeah. Yeah, because being human doesn't mean I'm a vessel for God. Being human means I'm a flawed individual that's not going to get it right ever because I'm imperfect.
Right.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a tremendous, tremendous view.
Yeah.
That's a great take.
Yeah, you know?
And what it is, I'm only human. No, you're so much more than only human. It's because of the human factor you have to live by faith.
Yeah.
And what does that do? It expresses the favor of God. Now, I get to be an experience to God and not only experience God. What does that mean? The Lord can be pleased with me. God's been pleased with people before. He wants us to walk in his favor. Jesus said, here's how the Father's glorified, and this is what pleases him, is that you bear much fruit. You know, spirit has a lot more depth than just emotions and chemistry. And we are more than emotions and chemistry. Yeah. And you're right. When we think of human, we relate to emotions and chemistry and just wrong, just broken and messed up. God said, this is the vessel through whom I will work by faith in who I am in them. And that's what makes only human so beyond human.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Wow. What an amazing conversation. Jeez, I just love this. And I just pray that everyone watching that you too would, walk into that fullness and to embrace who you are in him with no separation and that love that you're a thought of God and that those around you thought of God and that maybe those people, whether it's in your work, your family, just out there that, that you contend against or see as less than or think if they were different or changed or whatever, the world would be a better place. Know that God's love and purpose is the same for them as it is for you, and that you and I and all of us are the vessel through which he wants to bring that change into their lives.
That he said he's pleased with and he would make his dwelling and abode there. He would abide. He'd remain in us. How great is that? Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. What an amazing time.
What a great time. Next time.
Absolutely. Take care.